from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power for ever and ever. Amen. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay, thank you very much indeed for bringing us God's word. Shall we pray as we come to the word of God together? Father, we thank you that you inspired all scripture for our good. And Lord, we want to confess before you that we are hungry and we are thirsty for you. Lord, come now by your Spirit. Nourish us through your word. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would guide us and direct us into all truth. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, again, wherever you are, if you do have a Bible, perhaps an actual physical Bible with those old-fashioned pages, or perhaps a Bible on your tablet, iPad, or phone, you might like to turn to it now. 1 Peter chapter 5. Well, we're living in strange times indeed, aren't we? Many of us have never experienced days like it. Even during wartime, most churches in this country stayed open. So there's no point in pretending that life is going on as normal. This is not normal, but it will end. It will improve. But let's be honest with ourselves and admit that sometimes it can all seem very overwhelming. We are prone to being unsettled and anxious at the best of times. And maybe this crisis has just made it a little bit worse, and we're not quite sure how to feel, where to run to. We are together in spirit this morning. We support one another. We are united as the body of Christ in this place. We don't have to physically be together to be one in spirit. As someone reminded me this week, we don't go to church, we are the church. All of us, We are the church. The notice on the door of the church building in the marketplace says, church closed. But if the church is us, we are still open for business. We're still praying to our Father in heaven. We're still interceding for our nation at this really grueling and difficult time. We still care for others around us, practically sharing the love of God in a myriad of different ways. We are still reading the Word of God, which as Psalm 119 puts us, it is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And in some ways I think we're back in the days of the early church, where there were no church buildings. Believers in Jesus had been thrown out of the synagogues and they were meeting in people's homes, as we are today. So in those days, every church was a house church. And maybe that's one of the things that God is going to teach us as Christians through this present crisis. Perhaps God our Father is telling us, don't make a church building the centre of your worship. Don't make that building with the pointy spire the centre of all your Christian life. It starts off with who we are in our hearts and minds, by ourselves, then with others, perhaps in a household. But something has gone badly wrong if we can only worship in a special building. Our prayers, our Bible reading, our acts of service and of charity and of love, those things are central. Maybe God these weeks is calling us back to what is really important in our faith. So today we come to the final installment of our sermon series in this wonderful letter of 1 Peter. This morning we get to chapter 5 as Peter rounds off this letter to us. And I think it's a great corrective, a wonderful reminder of who we are as God's people. If you remember back in chapter 1, verse 3, we are brought into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. So as he came back from the dead, raised to new life, we share in that resurrection. We have a living hope through him. We have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And then Peter begins to tease out for us, teasing out a little bit what that means for us day to day. He wants us to accept that we're under authority, whether as citizens, whether as slaves in his context in the first century, and as husbands and of wives. It means living a life of holiness, being different from those around us. It means understanding suffering now, but in the light of glory. And I think when I finish with this letter, this is one of the key things I'm going to take away from this letter of 1 Peter. Peter, who's the friend of Jesus and an apostle, wants us to consider future glory. Now, Peter begins chapter 5 of this letter with some instructions to the elders, to the church leaders. And how does he begin his teaching? Let me remind you what it says. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. He again links these two things, temporary, earthly suffering, with eternal glory to come in the future. And I think, again, this has got to be a word of God for us today in these very uncertain and challenging times. Now, we all know we can expect times of trial and hardship in our lives on earth. Just because we are a follower of Jesus does not mean that we are immune from pain and difficulties. We all know that. Sometimes we suffer because of our Christian faith. We suffer as a Christian. Sometimes we suffer simply because we're fallen people living in a fallen world, where crimes happen, where people get sick, where people lose their jobs, where people are anxious. We live in a fallen world, and we share in some of that fallenness. But present suffering has to be seen in the light of the glory to come. Now, there's a wonderful lady called Karen Jobes. Karen Jobes has written a wonderful little book on this letter of 1 Peter. And let me just read to you just a few sentences from that book, and it helps us again to understand how we should see this. She says this: resources for living today are found in the knowledge of the ultimate end. What we believe about our future shapes how we live today. And she continues, Peter concludes the body of this letter with a statement that puts all of today's realities into the perspective of eternity. Friends, there is a glory to be revealed. There will be a day when Christ returns and he will put everything right, when justice will finally be done, when there's no more disease or death or corruption. There is a day coming when all will be well. And this is not some sort of escapism. This is not putting a little sticking plaster on the problems of this world. It's simply the reality for the Christian. The best is yet to come. Now, read chapter 5, verse 4. As Peter teaches the elders, who are the shepherds of the flock, he cannot avoid mentioning the coming again of Christ, who is the chief shepherd. He will then distribute a great time of blessing and riches on those who trust in him. And that includes a crown of glory that won't ever fade away. One day, we will share in the glorious life of Christ. We are united in him, and we share in his glory, in his eternal life, and in the blessings he received from God. This is our inheritance, something that nobody can ever take from us. And Peter wants to encourage us with this really helpful, uplifting thought. We have wonderful riches waiting for us if we are trusting in Christ. Now, I just want us to be wary of something. We need to be suspicious of any sort of Christianity that is completely about the here and now, and never really thinks about eternity. That is not the sort of authentic New Testament Christianity that Peter presents for us. Yes, we live holy lives now. That is our calling. Yes, we must care for the needy, the vulnerable, the sick amongst us. Christ calls us to do these things. But we do all this in the light of eternity. So how does Peter then begin to develop that thought? How does he lead us on? Let me take you to verse 10 and 11. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. This is Peter's perspective on events in his day, and I think we can learn from his perspective even today, 2,000 years later. The Christians he was originally writing to were suffering dreadfully for their Christian faith. Many were being martyred for their faith because they refused to say that Caesar is Lord. They refused to bow down before the pagan gods of Rome. And it must have seemed that the power of Rome would stretch on and on forever. They would have been aware of Roman legions, soldiers with their flashing armour, their shields, their spears, their red cloaks behind them, going on to victory after victory, conquering more and more nations for Rome. They would have seen great buildings like the Colosseum, like amphitheatres. They would have seen the power of Rome. But Peter looks through different eyes. Peter looks through the eyes of faith. And he says, to him, Christ, be the power forever and ever. Not the power of Rome, but the power of Christ. And as we await for our final vindication, as we wait finally for justice to be done, as we wait for the glory of Christ to be revealed, we have a job to do in this messy and broken world. And the God of all grace will keep us going, because he will restore, support, strengthen, establish us. See those words in verse 10? And it really is the idea that these words should be a great encouragement as Christ builds us up. We're not left to our own devices. Christ will encourage us and help us. Back in chapter 2, Peter talks about believers being built up together as living stones into a great spiritual house, with Christ as the cornerstone. Christ's return will prove, once and for all, that we have based our life on sure foundations. You know, we can sometimes feel completely overwhelmed. We can feel at the end of our own resources. We may even feel this week that our head is going under and we will not survive. Yet God is there for us. He is the God of grace, and he gives us so much more than we deserve. Look again at our reading. How does God help us? Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. As we humble ourselves before God, and as we discipline ourselves, resisting temptation, we find that we are lifted up and exalted. And we often see this movement in the Bible. Remember Mary in the Magnificat? She talks about the fact that she's lowly and humble, and yet she lifted up by God. Peter remembered Jesus' words in the Beatitudes as he turns the values of the world upside down. Jesus said previously, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And it is when we are humbled and lowly that we find Christ picking us up and exalting us on high. So here is a great promise for us. We can cast all our cares on him because he loves us. And he means all our cares, our tiny little niggles, our huge crippling fears, all our cares and anxieties we can bring to him who loves us. He is almighty, he is compassionate. And how much we need to pray at this time for our nation, for our leaders, for our community, for our family and friends, for ourselves. We pray because God is both loving and compassionate and also almighty. He has the power to intervene and change situations. So as we go into this week, we carry these truths in our heart. Our lives now must be shaped by the future. This present suffering needs to be seen in the light of eternity. Things might seem to swamp us, but Jesus has the power forever and ever. And as we humble ourselves, walking in the way of Christian disciples, fighting off sin, the world, Satan and temptation, we are exalted by God who cares for us, and we can cast all our cares upon him. So may God help us to live for him this week. And may the hope of Christ always be set in our hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.